The reading can be found on page 961 of the Church Bibles. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. If any of the boys and girls want to come down to the front, then please do so. Just around this area here, that would be good. If you just want to sit there, that's great. You don't have to. Don't worry. I've got a DBS check. I think it's still in date. That's it. Come and have a sit down there. Look at the enthusiasm of the young people today. It's nearly mirrored by the older people. Now, I'm going to pray just before we start. I tell you, come over this side. I know this is my better side, my right-hand side, but you stay there if you want. Okay, boys and girls, let's show the bigger boys and girls what we do with our prayer drill. Remember that? We go, 1, 2, 3, 4. Dear Father God, thank you for this wonderful day, a wonderful day of celebration. Help us now to really think about the resurrection and what it means for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 25%, boys and girls. Does anyone know what I mean, 25%? Yes. 1 in 4, thank you. Okay, excellent mathematician skills, I love it. 25%, am I talking about, is 25% the number of Easter eggs you've already eaten this morning? No? Is it more or less? Less, okay. Is 25% the amount of games that Manchester United have won at home this season? It's actually not much better. It's actually 37. I checked it. Pretty poor, isn't it, for the next year's champions? Is 25%, okay, the amount of Easter eggs that your dad may try and eat? Do you think? Or is he going to try and eat a little bit more? Or is 25% the amount of people who've already fallen asleep this morning in this sermon? We're close to it, okay? It's none of those. In a recent poll, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls, you will know this. In a recent poll, it came back that 25% of people who say they're Christians do not believe that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. 25%, as Alex said, that's 1 in 4. 1 in 4 people who say they're Christians do not believe that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. They do not believe in Easter Sunday. And this really, really worries me, boys and girls, because the resurrection is essential for Christians. It's essential for Christians, and we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Even a famous atheist, now an atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God. There was a famous atheist called Christopher Hitchens, and he said this about Christianity or about Christians. He said, I'll read it for you. I would say that if you do not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ and Messiah, and that he rose again from the dead, and by his sacrifice our sins are forgiven, you're not really a Christian in any sense. So if this atheist, if Christopher Hitchens, an atheist, knows that the resurrection is crucial for Christianity, then we need to know, don't we, as well? And I'm just going to spend the next 10 minutes just telling you two things. One is that the resurrection is certain. And secondly, that the resurrection is essential. Okay, now if you want a drink and biscuit later, you've got to remember those two things today. Nothing else of those two things. The resurrection is certain and the resurrection is essential. So let's think about the resurrection is certain. Now, boys and girls, put your hands up if you've ever heard of Julius Caesar. Does anybody know what happened to Julius Caesar? Well, how did he die? Yes, Daisy? He was stabbed in the back, wasn't he? Okay. Hands up if you know a guy called Henry VIII. Have you heard of Henry VIII? Does anybody know how many wives Henry VIII had in his lifetime? Yes, Grace. He had six wives, didn't he? Okay. So Julius Caesar was stabbed in the back. Henry VIII had six wives. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. How do we know these things? How do we know these things? Well, I used to teach history when I had a proper job. Although teaching borders on a proper job. Sorry to all the teachers out there. Enjoy your holidays. But how do we know these things? We know these things because people wrote about these guys. When Julius Caesar was living, there was two guys, one called Sallust and the other called Cicero. And those guys wrote down everything about Julius Caesar. They saw what he did. They saw what he did in his life. They saw how he died. And they wrote them down in writings. And we can read them today and learn about Julius Caesar. Henry VIII, there was a very famous guy, and his name's easy to remember because it's the same name twice, a bit like Neville. But his name was Nicholas. And he lived during Henry VIII's time, and he wrote everything down about Henry VIII, including how many wives he has. Now, boys and girls, do we have anything today where we can read from people who saw Jesus and learn about Jesus? Do we have anything in our Bibles from people who saw Jesus and hung around with Jesus? Yeah, we do, don't we? Good. We have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They saw Jesus' life. They saw what he did. They saw Jesus die. And here's the difference between Jesus and Julius Caesar and Henry VIII. Jesus came back to life, didn't he? They saw his resurrection. And boys and girls, what I've done is I've looked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 1 Corinthians, let's carry on, but look at the three most important facts how we know Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I'm going to say a phrase today, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls, and you've got something to say. I'm going to say, Christ is risen. And you're to say, he is risen indeed. Okay? Now, judging by the faces of a lot of you this morning, that's not exciting news. But hopefully, as we go through, it will become exciting news. So should we have a practice? I'll say, Christ is risen, and you say, he is risen indeed. Are you ready? Christ is risen. Fantastic. Okay, here we go. So, first thing we want to say is the empty tomb. Okay, the empty tomb. And pictures will come on the screen for you to have a look at, boys and girls. But one of the things that we know for certain that happened in ancient history is Jesus Christ was crucified. There are so many documents about Jesus Christ's crucifixion. We know that for certainty. Now, boys and girls, if you were going to make up the leader of your religion and the way he was going to die, you would never, never, never write about him being crucified. Because crucifixion was one of the most disgraceful and humiliating ways that somebody could die. And not only that, but we're told in the Bible that the first people to come to the empty tomb on Easter Sunday were women. Now, back in those days, a woman's word wasn't considered as important. So if you were going to write about somebody visiting Jesus' empty tomb, you'd want to make sure that it was very important people. So why did the writers of the Bible write that women were first at the tomb? It doesn't make any sense unless that's what really happened. And boys and girls, even 2,000 years later, people have not found Jesus' body, even though they searched for it. And do you know why they've not found it? Because it's not there, is it? Yeah, because he rose from the dead. And then after 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven. And that's where he is now. Christ is risen. Well done. Okay, and the second thing we want to say about the certainty of the tomb, or certainty of Jesus' resurrection, is 500 people saw Jesus. As Judy read in the from the Bible, a letter Paul wrote to a church in Corinth. Now, these letters were public letters. That means that they were read out so lots of people could hear them. And Paul says in it, doesn't he? He says, listen, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then go and ask one of these 500 people. Now, that's a bit risky, isn't it? Because let's say someone was listening to this and they said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and find one of those 500 people and I'm going to ask them. And let's imagine that they come up and they say, hey, mister, you're one of those 500 people Paul talked about, aren't you? Yes. Did you see Jesus rise from the dead? No, Paul was lying. Can you imagine if that happened? There would have been a scandal. Paul's reputation would have been ruined. He would have been seen as a liar. The early church would have been in chaos. It would have been an absolute disaster. But you know what? That never happened. It never happened. Because Paul, when he was saying, go and speak to one of these 500 people, it wasn't a risk. Paul knew it was a reality. These 500 people had seen Jesus come back from the dead. Christ is risen. And then the final thing I want us to think about, how do we know that Jesus definitely came back from the dead? Well, one, we've got the empty tomb. Second, 500 people saw Jesus alive. And thirdly, we've got the apostles' death. Now, boys and girls, can anyone tell me, just after Jesus died, where did the disciples go? Does anyone remember? Where did the disciples go? Yeah. Anyone? Where did the disciples go? Did they go on holiday? Yes, George?
Did they lock themselves in a room?
They locked themselves in a room, didn't they? So these disciples, they'd just seen Jesus die, and they locked themselves in a room because they were scared. They were scared that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. But by the end of the disciples' lives, they were willing to go all over the world and tell people about Jesus. In fact, we know that many of the disciples died horrible deaths, all because they were going around saying that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins. Now, boys and girls, how does a small group of scared people suddenly turn into this confident bunch of people who would die for Jesus? Well, the only answer is that all of these people, they saw Jesus rise from the dead. And when they saw Jesus rise from the dead, it transformed them. Instead of being scared people, they became bold people. Because they were sure that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God who died for their sins. Boys and girls, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now, we could go on for a long time and give more evidence to the certainty of the resurrection, okay? But I know people have got lamb in the oven, so we can't do much more. But before we move on, and we've got to move on to the second point, which is Jesus' resurrection is essential. Now, before we do that, it's always good practice to have a little bit of a stretch. So we're going to sing a song that many of you know. It's called Mighty, Mighty Savior. And there's a line in it that's wonderful. It says, I'm so glad that you died and rose again. And that's what today is about. It's about being filled with joy that Jesus died and rose again. So boys and girls, bigger boys and girls, come and stand with me. If you want to come and do the actions up here, you're very welcome. You'll hopefully pick it up. It's quite easy to do. Oh, fantastic. Give yourself a big round of applause. Well done, boys and girls. You just want to take a seat for us. Fantastic. Now, we said, didn't we, the resurrection is, what was that word we used? Certain, didn't we? And now we're going to think about the resurrection is essential. Now, the word essential means something that's absolutely vital. So we can say water is essential for the body. We can say it is essential that United beat Chelsea today. It's essential that dads don't eat all the kids' chocolate. So how is the resurrection essential? Well, in our reading today, in verse 17, Paul says this. He says, if Christ, if Jesus has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. What Paul is saying is, he's saying without the resurrection, we would not know if Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now imagine, boys and girls, if I would have said to Cole and Daisy and Alfie on Wednesday, guys, when you come down on Sunday morning, there is going to be a huge Easter egg for each of you. Now, how would they know if I'm telling the truth? Well, they have to wait till Sunday, wouldn't they? And if they come down the stairs on Sunday and if they see this big chocolate Easter egg, they would know if Daddy was telling the truth or not. The proof of my words is in the actions. So Jesus said he was going to die for our sins, but how do we know that he actually did it? Well, the resurrection confirms that what Jesus said he would do, he did do. The resurrection is confirmation that Jesus Christ did die for our sins. If we take the resurrection out of Christianity, then all we've got is billions of people following some dead guy who we don't know if he died for sins or not. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of that. Jesus Christ definitely rose from the dead. And friends, I need to be honest with you just for a moment. If you consider yourself a Christian here today and you do not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then look at me. With the greatest love, you're not a Christian. But the good news, and it is good news, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, confirming that God accepted his death for our sin. And today, friend, if you come and acknowledge your sin before God, if you come and trust that Jesus Christ did die for you and rose again, then friend, you are a Christian. You've gone from being outside of God's family to in. You've gone from being a saint to a sinner, and that can happen for you today. If you forget everything else I say, good, remember this. Today is the day that you can become a Christian. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, I ask. Christ is risen. So the resurrection is essential because it also tells us who Jesus is. In Romans chapter 1 verse 4, it tells us that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I have a sister. I lived with her for about 20 years. She saw me in the morning and in the night. She saw me at my best and my worst. Do you think that my sister considers me to be God? No way. No way she considers me to be God. Have you ever wondered why or how James, the half-brother of Jesus, came to worship Jesus as God? James must have seen Jesus first thing in the morning and last thing at night. James must have seen Jesus when he was tired and when he was hungry. Now, Jesus didn't sin against James like I sinned against my sister. This might surprise you, but I used to wind her up an awful lot. But the Bible does tell us that James thought Jesus was crazy for the things that he was going about saying. So it must have took something spectacular for James to change his thinking. He used to think about Jesus, oh, here's my weird, strange older brother. And then he started thinking, here's Jesus, my Lord and Savior. What happened? How did he change so dramatically? He saw his brother die, and he saw his brother come back to life. James and the other disciples, they saw the resurrection, and it confirmed that Jesus really was the Son of God. Christ is risen. And friends, listen, I want to just tell you this now. Someone coming back from the dead is not normal, okay? Jesus is not like some other guy in history who you can sort of find out about. He's not like Julius Caesar or Henry VIII. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he will always be the Son of God. In 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years time. Okay, or in 6 weeks if things happen with North Korea. It will not change anything. Jesus Christ will still be the Son of God. And you have to deal with Jesus somehow. You can either ignore Jesus, the Son of God, or you can come to follow Jesus, the Son of God. Friends, think carefully and think wisely. And lastly, boys and girls, okay, you'd be glad to know the resurrection is essential because it tells us that our sins are forgiven. It tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. And finally, the resurrection is our hope for the future. Now, I started off and I mentioned the poll, didn't I, about the amount of people, Christians, who didn't believe in Jesus. Well, in that same poll, 50% of non-Christians or 50% of people who don't believe in God, they did say they believed in life after death. Isn't that amazing? 50% of people who don't believe in God believe that there is something after death. Now, that could be a star in the sky. It could be where Uncle Billy's having a pint looking down on us. It could be the great golf course in the sky where everybody's slice has been cured. Whatever that may be. But for the Christian, we know that the resurrection of Jesus shows us and confirms that there is hope not only for this world, but also for the world to come. You see, for this world, the Bible teaches that sin leads to death. But because Jesus rose from the dead, it shows that he has power over sin. So can I just encourage you that if you're a Christian here today or not, there is no sin, there is no temptation in your life that Jesus cannot help you turn away from. He has the power over sin. And Jesus also gives us hope for the world to come. You see, the resurrection of Jesus confirms that he has power over death. For those who trust in Jesus, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise them from the dead too. For the Christian, death is not the end. It is the beginning. Boys and girls, just look at the screen for 1 second. This is the last thing. There was a famous American preacher called D.L. Moody. I know Bob likes this quote. And he said this. He said, "Someday you will read in the papers, D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Do not believe a word of it. At that moment, I will be more alive than now." The resurrection gives us hope for this life and the life to come. Let me just finish with this. Holidays are great. I love holidays. I like going on them myself. But people spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours planning for 1 or 2 weeks because they want the best 1 or 2 weeks they can have. Friends, I wish we would spend the same amount of hours preparing for our eternal destination. Preparing so we will have the best time we possibly can. Friends, can I encourage you to spend time with the one who was raised from the dead? Get to know him. The more you know him, the more you'll love him. The more you love him, the more joy and hope will fill your heart. The resurrection is certain. The resurrection is essential. And the resurrection is our hope. Christ is risen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day where we can know for certain that Jesus rose from the dead. And that because he rose from the dead, our sins are forgiven. That he truly is the Son of God. And we really do have hope in the future. Amen.